2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Our text, a small vignette and an insight into the life of the ministry of Elisha, but you'll notice that the focus of this passage is more so upon the Shunammite woman that has previously been mentioned. So turn your attention now to the word of the living God, 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Arise and depart with your household and sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and it will come upon the land for 7 years." So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, when the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, she went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me all the great things that Elisha has done." And while he was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, here is the woman, and here is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed an official for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields, from the day that she left the land until now." This is the word of the living God. Beloved in the Lord, as we look in these later chapters in the life and in the ministry of the prophet Elisha, we come to a passage whose focus is not really upon Elisha as much as it is upon the woman to whom he had ministered previously. And there's a particular reason for that shift in the focus, for it's God's mercy that is extended to someone who is outside of the pale of the household of Israel. This is the Shunammite woman. And in this passage, we see that she returns and she is given her land and it is restored to her following this long famine. The passage opens by identifying this woman very particularly as the one whose son Elisha had restored to life, so that there is no mistake about the particular person that the scripture writer is going to be talking about. We're given this information, and then we're simply told that Elisha tells her to arise and depart with your household, sojourn wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine that will come on the land for 7 years. And after that point, Elisha's gone from the scene, and the focus now is upon this woman. It occurs in a time when this great famine came on the land of Israel. War and famine had passed from the land, and the desolation from that brought wretchedness and misery. During the reign of King Jehoram, a once happy people came to ruin on account of the national sins of the people. Once prosperous, now they became desolate. Farms were desolate. Homes were marked with the change that takes place in the land when famine visits it. But God singled out for his grace in the midst of this great trial, which, as we'll see, took 7 years, a woman that he would bring his blessing and to whom his grace would come. And God marvelously brought relief from the famine that was provoked by the Syrian attack on Samaria to this Shunammite woman. The Shunammite who, as she was identified in this passage, had provided for Elisha the prophet at one time. You'll recall, she was the one that spoke to her husband when he was living, "Let us make a room for the prophet, for he passes by here." And they made a room for him, and they furnished the room at great cost to themselves and perhaps some inconvenience. And it was her son that had died, and then Elisha through the work of God's powerful grace, restored him to life. And the woman of that great house is now the object of God's great mercy. And through the prophet Elisha, she's instructed by the prophet to leave, to depart, take your household and all of your people, and go, because God is going to judge this land with a famine. The grace of God is seen in the ministry to the Shunammite woman, first of all, in the warning that she is given through the mouth of the prophet. The word of the Lord through Elisha provides for the Shunammite in the time of the famine. God, speaking through the prophet, warns this woman that the famine is about to come, because God is faithful to her. God will not forsake her. And God sends the prophet Elisha to tell her, to instruct her, a word from the Lord to enable her to escape the ravages of this great famine. It's an example of the fact that God is faithful to those whom he loves, to this woman to whom his mercy had come, first in her ministry to the prophet, then in her receiving her dead son back to life. She had seen, she had observed, she had received the grace of God. And God was not done showing his grace to her. God does not forsake his own. God graciously, through the mouth of the prophet, warns her of the coming famine and instructs her so that she may be preserved in the midst of this dire moment. He graciously exempts this woman and her family from the horrors of the famine to come. We've seen the horrors of the famine in the previous chapter when the famine came, when a donkey's head was sold for an exorbitant amount of money, and people were selling food for extremely high prices. It was hard to find. And where in the terrible instance that is recorded in the previous passage, two women agreed together to eat their own children in order to stave off hunger and to remain alive. In the midst of that, God graciously exempts this Shunammite and sends her away to a place of safety and provision by the hand of God. And note the woman's great need. She is now without a husband. Another trial comes. She has been called through the mouth of the prophet to leave her home, to leave Shunem, where she had lived, her with her family, and now her son. And she is called to leave the place where all of her friends would be. Remember when she met with Elisha, first of all, and Elisha had said to her, after she had blessed him with this wonderful provision of a household, he had said, "What would you like me to do for you? I'll speak to the king. I'll put in a word with the king for you." And she had told him, "I dwell among my own people." She was satisfied with living among her people. She had all that she needed, but now that's taken from her. She is told to leave all of this behind. God is warning her. This warning is the warning of grace. Leave Shunem to avoid the affliction of the famine that's coming. And that is, as we have said, an example of God's gracious favor. He never forsakes his children. He directs them, and he has directed this woman by his powerful word, the word of the prophet. It's interesting that she is told that the famine would be upon the land for 7 years. It's just an interesting note to see that that's twice the amount of time that of the famine that occurred during the days of Elijah the prophet, 3.5 years. Now this famine lasts 7 years, double what occurred in the time of Elijah. And this woman is told that the famine would last 7 years. She is to leave, and she is to go and live elsewhere for that period of time. We'll see that at the end of that period of time, at the end of 7 years, you can almost think in your mind, she's probably got that day marked on her calendar, because from the word of the prophet, the Lord had told her it would be 7 years. So it's 7 years and one day, it was time to go home. And it's exactly what she did. But let's focus for a moment upon the comfort that she receives from the Lord before we proceed. This comfort that she receives from the Lord comes directly from God himself. God sovereignly called for a famine. He brought it about. It's his judgment that he lays upon the people who had lived in disobedience to his word. But he gives specific direction to this woman through the mouth of the prophet to provide for her comfort in the midst of the great trial that would afflict the people of God. And God's people need to see that the trials that God has called for and that are sent by him into their lives are there for his purpose. And the purpose is revealed in Scripture. Those things will be found for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Nothing comes into your life. Nothing happens. Nothing comes. Those difficulties, those trials, that which you must endure, that affliction, like the Apostle Paul said, he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed that the Lord would remove that thorn. He said, I prayed three times that the Lord would remove it. We don't hear any more about it. We don't know if the Lord took it away, but we do know that he prayed three times that the Lord would take that away. But the point is that the Lord brought that thorn to the Apostle Paul. The Lord brings the trial to this woman of Shunem. The Lord brings the trials of your life into your life because he is working for your good and for his glory, and all of these things. He is calling us through these trials to put our faith and our trust in the Lord. And that's exactly what this woman does. She rests by faith in the word of God through the mouth of the prophet. And the Lord rewarded the faith of this woman who had ministered to his servant Elisha. Having ministered to him previously, she now receives the reward of light upon her path, further guidance from the Lord, and the gift of his word to guide her into safety in a time of great trial. And we see that God provides for the Shunammite again in this ironic way. Where does she find shelter? Where does she find hope? Where does she find food in a time of famine? By the hand of the very enemies of God. She moves for this brief period of time to the land of the Philistines, to the enemy's camp. The people that hated and that despised the people of Israel is the very source that God uses to provide for the woman of Shunem. And the reason that she is provided for is that she obeys in simple faith the word of the living God. In simple faith, she receives and she obeys the instruction of the prophet. Now, there had been no indication of an approaching famine other than this word from the Lord through the mouth of the prophet. She is given the word of the Lord that there would be a famine that is coming, and it is a test of her faith whether she will obey and she will leave her home, leave her household, her family, leave her friends, leave her community, leave her source of security that she found having lived and grown up in that area, and she would go and depart. Would she trust the Lord and his word? This is the test that she faced. And she only had a word from the prophet. And it's no small matter to leave your home and property and go to another land, especially if you're a widow in this day. It called for implicit faith in the veracity of the servant of God. Did she believe the word of the prophet? Was this a word from God? This was a severe test for this woman's faith. It was no small matter to leave her home and property with her household to go to another land. Inhabitants who had been and live among inhabitants who had been for so long hostile to the Israelites, it called for an implicit confidence in the truth of God's holy word. Nothing but genuine faith in the word of God is sufficient for the human heart in such an emergency. But the mind of one who trusts in the Lord will, as the scripture says, always be kept in perfect peace. To obey on the basis of the prophetic word was a renunciation of her own will, forsaking all and following the Lord. We don't see here in this passage that the woman paused to reflect and say, you know, I don't see any economic indicators that suggest that we're going to have a great difficult time in front of us. The harvest for the last several years has been plentiful and bountiful. How can this be? There's no doubting of the word of God. There is no, well, maybe there's a better way. Maybe I can store up enough in my cupboard that will get me through the famine that might be coming so that I can avoid having to leave. No, she was told to leave, to go. And she was told by the word of the mouth of the prophet from God himself, and she didn't take that as just good advice. She took it as the message of God to her. There was no murmuring, there was no grumbling, there was no complaining, there was no fatalistic lack of action as though, well, what's the use? If there's going to be a famine, I might as well stay here and die. No, in faith, in the simple trust of the word of the master, she went in obedience to God's word, forsaking all and following him. That is what a covenant child of God must do. A covenant child of God lives in simple faith, in trust and obedience to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And remember, Abraham was called our great father in the faith to do what? To leave the land that he lived in and to go to a place that God would show him. And scripture says, not knowing where he was going, he obeyed according to God's calling. Abraham was an example for this woman and is for us as well the example of what faith should be. Trusting God's word and living in obedience to it. Now the woman had left, and it tells us that she went away for those 7 years, and then she returned. And then when she returns, she finds squatters in her property. Someone else had taken it over. Perhaps the king had requisitioned it because its owner was not able to be found, and now it became a property of the realm. There's all kinds of conjecture on what might have happened, but all that we know is that the property was now no longer in her hand, her own home. The home that she had labored in. She had cleaned the windows. Maybe she didn't have windows. I don't know. But she had labored in that home. She raised her child in that home. She entertained the prophet in that home. This was her home, and now it's no longer in her possession. Put yourself in her position. You would feel that something was amiss. Something had been taken from you. And on the basis of faith, she goes to the king to have her home restored to her. She makes her appeal. And it's interesting that when she goes to meet the king, to make her appeal to the realm and to ask for the return of her property, it's at that very moment under God's great sovereign direction that the king himself was conversing with the servant of the prophet and was saying, tell me the great things Elisha has done. We see that in verse 4. And so he was telling the king about what Elisha had done. It was in the record. It's in the record of scripture. Perhaps he was telling how Elisha had served Elijah. And he gets to the point where he tells the king about how Elisha had restored a dead child to life. And you can almost imagine, he says, and here's the woman, and that's her son. This is the one that had occurred. This is the one that Elisha raised from the dead. Can you imagine that moment in your mind's eye as it occurs, and it's recorded for us here in Scripture? And so when this woman then brings her appeal to the king, we are told in verse 6, when the king asked the woman, she told him, All of these things, yes, this was so. And then the king appointed an official for her, saying, restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields from the day she left until now. She had faith that the inheritance of her fathers and her inheritance would be restored. She returned punctually at the close of that 7-year famine. Her return was as much an evidence of faith as her departure was, according to the word of God. Trial and disappointment awaited her on her return. Her home was gone. That is, she was no longer its rightful owner. Perhaps in her mind, doubt could have arisen. What profit is there in serving the Lord? What's the use of serving God? I left when the Lord told me to go. I lived in Philistia. Well, sure, I didn't starve. I was provided for there. But now I come back and my home is gone. Everything that I worked for all of these years, it's gone. You don't see that with the Shunammite woman. She takes the one recourse that is left to her, and she appeals to the king. I have to say, it's not very promising in the light of the fact that the justice which could be expected was dependent largely upon the justice of the judge. And who was the judge or the king? King Jehoram, we know, was not a very godly king. He was an ungodly king, ungodly to the core, like his forefather Ahab. But nevertheless, by the miraculous hand of God directing the life and the heart of the king, we find that God was working. We see God working, first of all, when the king was talking about the marvelous works of God, admiring Elisha's ministry. Perhaps that recent deliverance was still fresh in his mind when the Shunammite returned. And it's amazing in the fact that only recently this very king had conspired and ordered the death of Elisha. But like many today, with the excitement of the religious moment removed, we are still found cleaving to the sins of Ahab. He was an ungodly man. There was no true religion in his soul. There was no deep conviction of the things of God. He might have been entertained by this discussion with the prophet's servant, Gehazi, but there was no spiritual life at all. That is the outcome of a renewed heart and a heart that seeks the face of God. But God was in charge. He's in charge of everything. He's in charge of the king. He's in charge of your life. He's in charge of everything in this world. And God had brought this Shunammite woman back at this moment and brought her together with the king at this moment to accomplish his will for this woman's life. And when she spoke of her dilemma, the king was quick to order justice. And I find it interesting that the king says, restore all that was hers. And then notice what he says, together with all the produce of the fields from the day she left until now. In other words, today we would translate that into all of your back wages from the moment you left until now. She got it all restored because God was in charge. All that God had in store for her came to pass. His blessing came upon the life of this Gentile woman because of his grace. She received her land. She received her house. She received even more. The fruits of the field were restored to her. And in addition, a king's officer was appointed to see that the royal command was duly carried out. Imagine that just for a moment. All was restored to her. Here we find in this vignette, this story in the life and ministry of Elisha, and its focus upon a Gentile woman, one who is outside of the pale of the household of faith, the people of Israel, but who was included in the household of God by grace. We see a picture of what will happen when Jesus, our King, will come. all will be restored by our King, the Lord Jesus. This is a picture of the hope of the Christian, whose King will restore all things. Our King will come. The scripture is clear. And when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. The hymn writer has it right. It's a glorious day, but in that glorious day, our King will restore all things, for all will be made new. Nothing will be forgotten. Your trials, your suffering, all of the deprivation and the want will be restored in the newness of the new kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in that day, when faith passes from the scene and we look by sight at the Savior, we will see clearly how all things work together for good to those like the woman of Shunem and all others who are loved by God and called according to his purposes. So that word of the Lord comes to us. It is a call to faith. Trust him. Or as in the words of that simple hymn, trust and obey. Trust and obey. The woman of Shunem is an example. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Do you trust him? Do you trust his word, his promise to you? Do you rest in it? Live then in the light of that truth, trusting and obeying and serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen.